So can radio have that kind of effect to educate and to inform? Of course it can, particularly in developing countries, where you've got children now, you've got millions and millions of different opportunities of where they get their information from the internet, or they can spend time with the TV or playing games. It's more and more difficult to capture that. It's more and more difficult to capture that that audience. But I don't think it's something you should give up on. That's why I like the fact that Radio 4 introduced a young person's children's programme. I don't think it's something that you know, we should. But it's particularly in the developing world, it's, you know, is next to TV, it is the most important medium and tool, and that's widely recognised.
I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
The language used in radio, especially relating to young people, should it be reflective of their speech, or should it be somehow educating their speech? Should it be a little more formal?
I've spent a lot of time doing radio about the countryside, about rural life, about people from extremely different, diverse backgrounds. Yeah, for it to be educational, you have to capture them as they are. Yeah, they have to be comfortable. You have to go into their own environment and to capture their voices as they speak. The worst thing you should have is try and get a presenter to try and talk like a young person. Okay, I mean, that's just daft. That's stupid. And young people will straight away sniff that and think, what a load of bollocks that is. And they'd be right about it, because I hate white people who try to be black. You know, they really, like, you know, fucking get over it. And it's the same, you know, so people will generally respect people who are true to themselves. They know who they are and they're true to themselves. I don't know anything about the countryside. It doesn't stop me going and learning and talking to a guy who's salmon netted on the Tweed, you know, for 74 years of his life and can't read and write. And there's a connection there between me and him, because I'm genuinely really interested in who he is and what he does, and I want to understand it, and I want to put it in a format that my audience will understand it, and I value that person as a person. So I don't think we should get too hung up about these sort of things, but certainly when you try too hard to emulate speech patterns or to be like someone, you're not being true to yourself. And the best presenters are natural, yeah? They are just being really true to who they are. They're very good with people and they like connecting with them. Genuinely, they're interested in the person rather than themselves. They're more interested in getting the best out of the person than their own performance. So, you know, I think it's really a bit patronising to young people to kind of say, you know, young people do not all talk the same. They do not use all the same colloquialisms. I mean, there's huge diversity in the way young people speak. It's the way there are adults as you go up and down the country, in the vernacular that they use, in the colloquialisms that they use, in the accents that they have. If you get focused on that, you're focusing on something quite shallow. So it is about what are the right voices that can connect with other people. And I think a lot of the time it does come down to self-knowledge. If someone's easy with themselves and they're interested, then they're going to make good radio, because they'll be connecting. And if say, radio is all about talking to people, and if there's a connection between the presenter and who they're talking to, which could be a young person, if there's a connection there and they're getting the best out of them, then the audience will hear that. They'll hear that there's a connection, that they're getting the best out of the interviewee. So it doesn't really matter that much, because at the end of the day, radio should not be about presentation. It should be about content. So if the content is really, really good, in the sense that you're getting the best out of who you're talking to, it doesn't matter what the presenter sounds like. Nobody's bothered. Nobody's really listening to them. And because you're learning, you're not supposed to learn about a presenter. You're supposed to learn about who they're talking to and what their experience are. So, which is why, to be honest, I've made lots of programs where I have done all the questions myself, but I whack my voice out. For a start, my voice, as you can hear, is really nasal and horrible. And secondly, it doesn't really matter. I've probably made about 60 or 70 programs that way. And I've done all the interviews, and only once have I left to question him, because it was necessary. So if the focus is about the person and who they are and understanding them and the information and capturing that, then that translates very directly to the audience. That's incredibly educational, because you're getting a deeper understanding of who somebody is who's completely different to who you are. And again, you know, I'm talking about something that much more kind of holistic idea, because the skill to be able to get on with other people and understand and empathise with other people connects you to the rest of the world. That's like a universality between all of us. And it also enables you to communicate, which better equips you for life. And also, because you're hearing a voice like that, you want to know more, you want to find out. But, you know, radio is a great way to spark the imagination, to go away and find out more about the subject. So if you try and tell them everything, you know, if you try and fill out every dot and every thing, you'll just bore someone. If you capture someone's imagination, like with kids, if you do a piece about frogs, yeah, and they, you know, they hear the noises of frogs, you know, which are phenomenal on the radio, and, you know, have a good laugh about it and some really good description of the frog, then they may want to go and keep a frog, or they may want to go and read up about frogs, you know, or dinosaurs, or whatever. It enhances their understanding of natural history. But more than anything, it's not their understanding, it enhances their interest. There's other, they get on the internet, then they get a book, because what you've done is you've captured their information. If you try and tell them everything you need to know about a frog to get a biology GCSE, it's not going to be great radio. So again, there's lots of thinking. People, I think a lot of radio producers, a lot of problem with radio is they jump too many steps. They don't start just with like the very basic, simple thing with let's get a frog on the radio, let's make the frog sound great, let's describe what it's doing, let's make some fun about this, you know, this frog, you know, or whatever. Or maybe I've just captured the person who's really interested in frogs. The frog itself ain't that interesting, but the person, why is he so interested in frogs, you know? So I've kind of captured him. Now he's become an interesting, now I'm interested in people who are interested in frogs. So you're building up a sense of person, a sense of place, or a sense of something without trying to say necessarily too much. Without it all being about, you know, processing information or passing information on, which is, you know, maybe considered education, but you can't educate people if they switch off the radio.